In the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we need to know, first of all, that evil in the Greek is masculine singular, which means that it literally means evil one. So Jesus is having us pray for deliverance from Satan, the evil one, and from his temptations. In this last petition of the prayer, Jesus has the Father to be asked to meet the third of three great needs we have if we would follow God, if we would hallow his name, and if we would serve his kingdom. First, there's the need for provision. So Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Second, there is the need for forgiveness. And so he teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then third and last, we have the need for protection. So Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And once again, with this last petition, we have very simple words with very deep meanings. The Greek word here that's translated temptation is the exact same word that is elsewhere translated in the New Testament, trial or test. So here Jesus is teaching us to pray, to ask God to not lead us into temptation. But elsewhere, for example, in James, we're told to count it all joy when we encounter various trials. And the word for trials is the exact same word as the word translated temptation in our text. James says we should count trials all joy, knowing that the testing, and there's the same word again, the testing of our faith is intended to make us perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's all the same word. Similarly, Peter tells us that when we encounter various trials, and there's the same word again, it's all for the purpose that the proof of our faith, which is more precious than gold, may result in praise and glory and honor to God. So, are they trials or are they temptations? Are they good or are they bad? Should we seek them or avoid them? And then there's even more questions. James and Peter both suggest that it is God the Father who sends trials or temptations into our lives in order to test our faith for the purpose of perfecting us. On the other hand, James says that God tempts no one, but rather we are tempted when we are carried away and enticed by our own lusts. But then in Hebrews 11, verse 17, it says very clearly that God tested Abraham. So what is going on here? And we even see that in the temptation of Jesus, and as Jesus suggests in the Lord's Prayer, Satan himself is the tempter. So where do trials and temptations come from? Do they come from God? Do they come from within us? Or do they come from Satan? If they do come from Satan or from our own sinful lusts, is God sovereign over them? Does he use them for good in our lives? What should our attitude be toward trials or temptations? Should we feel fearful or confident? Well, we need to remember, if we would understand the Bible's teachings about all this, we need to remember what God is doing with us. As it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, God is dealing with us as sons and daughters, just as he dealt with Jesus as his only begotten son. We need to remember that being a perfect son or daughter does not mean having no needs. It means looking to the Father to fill those needs. Jesus, as the perfect son, was not needless. That is not what made him perfect. What made him a perfect son was that he perfectly looked to his Father to meet those needs. He needed daily bread just like we do. And so he looked to the Father for that. And we are to do the same. Now, Jesus did not need to be forgiven as we do, but he did need to forgive. And remember, being forgiven makes us sons of God, but it does not make us like him. Forgiving does. And so even Jesus, to grow to be like the Father, to be a perfect son, had to forgive. And so he prayed, even while he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus teaches us that this is part of being sons of the Father. We must be forgiven to be restored to sonship, and we must forgive to be like our Father, which is what it means to be a son or a daughter. Jesus also needed to overcome temptation and the evil one. This is not a need that is reserved for sons and daughters like us who are redeemed sinners. Overcoming temptation, overcoming the evil one, is part of winning the kingdom and maturing as sons and daughters. Maturing in the Bible means becoming fully glorious. Jesus faced the evil one, and he faced temptation, and so did the first Adam. You see, the kingdom of God involves conflict and warfare. It involves facing and overcoming evil. Jesus did, and so was we. It is part of being sons and daughters. Remembering that being a perfect son does not mean having no needs. It means looking to the Father to fill those needs, just as Jesus looked to his Father to fill his needs in every area. In Hebrews, we are told that Jesus cried out to the Father who was able to save him from death. Elsewhere, we are told that it was not possible for death to hold Jesus because he was sinless, so death had no claim on him. But the Father promised Jesus that if he subjected himself to death on behalf of his brethren, the Father would deliver him and them. Jesus went to the cross, believing his Father and asking his Father to fulfill his promise and deliver him. Now that brings us back to trials and temptations and tests. Think of it this way. When a teacher gives the pupils a test, failure is a possibility, but that's not the purpose. Failure is not why the teacher gives the test. The teacher gives the test so that the students will succeed. They have an opportunity to succeed, which means that they will learn and grow. And this is why God gives us tests or trials, so that we have an opportunity to succeed, to learn, and to grow. And it's not just us. The Father did the exact same thing with Jesus, the perfect Son. Now, Satan has a different purpose. He wants us to fail. He wants us to pull away from the Father. He wants us to regress. So the Father, as he did with Jesus, gives us tests for success. While Satan, just as he did with Jesus, gives us temptations to make us fail. And it's all part of the same trial. The key every time is whether we turn to the Father or turn away, whether we look to the Father or to our own understanding, whether we consider the Father God only wise or we consider ourselves wise in our own eyes. Jesus was the perfect Son. We need to follow him. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here to pray. He is not teaching us to pray for no trials that bring tests from the Father. That would mean that we could not succeed. That would mean that we could not learn, we could not grow to be like the Father. Jesus is teaching us to pray that we not, in the midst of testing, fall prey to the temptation of the evil one and fail by following him. And once again, in conclusion, Jesus is teaching us to be like him. This is his prayer, which he's putting in our lips so that we are conformed to his image.